Are you not going to have a Shabbos for Shabbos HaGadol Rosh Hashanah? Are you doing the unusual and the exceptional? I'm saying my Shabbos HaGadol Rosh Hashanah before anybody else in the world. I'm saying it tonight, Tuesday night, at 8 o'clock in English in my shul in Har Nof, and tomorrow night at Wednesday night at 8 o'clock I'm going to say it for you. And that's it. I will accept the Shabbos HaGadol Rosh Hashanah. Now, for all I know, you know, I may luck out and find some poor shul in Muncie that doesn't have anybody to say a Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I'll be walking around with one. Have drasha, will travel. So I said that you people are off Broadway, because we're going to try out the drasha here, and therefore by the time I have to say it tonight, it will be you're not going to lose anything. Don't worry, you're not going to lose anything. And I have to say that I made sure that the signs went up in Har Nof before Shabbos. It does not say Harav HaGoyen HaGadol HaAmiti HaAdir Maram. I always have my sign say simply Rav Shalom Gold, and I change the color of the paper every year, because I tell you, before Pesach I come out into the streets and I see black and white signs, and I forget that Shabbos HaGadol is coming, and I think, God forbid, all the rabbis died. I see their names over there until I get closer and I see it says Shlita, and he, it announces the Shabbos HaGadol. So I never had signs on my paper. Every year was a different color paper. So that nobody's going to make the mistake of thinking this is the only way I like to have my name on the walls of Yerushalayim. This is the only way I like it. So you can, I give you one guess, what color did I use this year?
Orange.
All over Har Nof. All over. All right. I want to learn a Gemara with you. The Gemara is puzzling. It's mysterious, it's mystifying, but we have to know what the meaning of the Gemara is. Where it's underlined, you have there, this is Shamach Vav Amet Aleph Im Sapa. We're learning an Amet Gemara Im Sapa. Tona Rabban, our rabbis learned, Halacha Zo Nif'alma Nivnei B'Teda. This halacha was hidden, it was concealed, it was forgotten from the sons of B'Teda, B'nei B'Teda. What halacha are they talking about? The Mishnah had just said that you bring Korban Pesach if Erev Pesach occurs on Shabbos. What are Jews supposed to do on Erev Pesach? They bring the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach involves Shchita and Zrikat Hadam and all sorts of malachas. And the Mishnah says that you bring the Korban Pesach even when Pesach occurs, Erev Pesach occurs on Shabbos. But that's quite a halacha, that Korban Pesach is Dochah Shabbos. Halacha Zu, this halacha was forgotten by the sons of Beseda. And Tamach, at one time it happened that Chal Arbaah, so the of the Shabbat, the 14th day of Nisan, occurred on Shabbos. Shachu, they forgot Velo Yodu, they didn't know in Pesach, Dochet HaShabbos, in Lab, where the Korban Pesach sets aside Shabbos. So now we're talking about an extremely important halacha that all of Klal Yisrael needs to know. Obviously, this is taking place Bisman Shebet HaMikdash Hayah Kayan. This is talking at the time of the Bet HaMikdash. All of Klal Yisrael have to know what to do. And they forgot. They didn't know where the Pesach is Dochas HaShabbos. Amru, who are the ones who said, B'nai B'Teda. We're going to find out who these B'nai B'Teda were. They were a family, an important family in Yerushalayim. And they appear a number of times in Talmud, a good number of times, and they also appear over a period of at least 100 years. We're going to see 100 years later, we're going to see Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash is going to consult with B'nai B'Teda. Where are we right now? We're approximately somewhere after the year 37 before the Common Era. It's going to be 37, 36, 35, 34. We're talking which places it 100 years before Churban Bet HaMikdash. 100 years before Churban HaBayit. And they forgot where the current passage is, Dokra Shabbos. Amru, so they said, Klum Yech Odom, is there any man, Sheyodeah, who knows this halacha, in Pesach, Dokhet HaShabbos, where the Pesach, current Pesach, sets aside Shabbos. It's awesome, it's mystifying that they don't know a halacha of this sort. It's unbelievable. All of Klaus, I mean, this is not a question in whether you can use plastic plates Shabbos in the morning, Erev Pesach, Chali, or Shabbos. We're talking about Korban Pesach. Now you have to know there are two positive commandments in the Torah. In all of Torah, there are two positive commandments that if one does not fulfill them, there is a punishment of karet, and that is Milah and Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is serious. Those two mitzvah, I say, those two positive commandments are the most serious of all. And they don't know whether it's Dosh Shabbos, and they ask, is there anybody here who knows whether Pesach is Dosh Shabbos in love? Amru lehem, somebody said to them, from the audience, wherever this took place, said to them, Odot Nechal Yesh, there's one man, Sha'olam Yibavel, who came up from Bavel, Behilel HaBavli Shemo, his name is Hillel HaBavli. Sheshime Shnei Gedolei Hador, he served two of the great of the generation, Shmaya and Avkayon. V'yodea, he knows in Pesach Tochel HaShabbat. He knows whether Korban Pesach will set aside the Shabbos in Lav or not. Shohu, so they sent the Korlo, and they called this fellow Hillel to come to wherever this gathering was taking place. It may very well, most probably have been on Har HaBayit, or even in the Azora, in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. Amrulo, so they said to him, when Hillel presented himself there, Amrulo, they said to him, Klum, Afa Yodea, do you know him, Pesach Toch HaShabbat, if Pesach sets aside Shabbos in Lav or not? Amrulahem, so he said to them, is there only one Pesach during the course of the year? There are more than 200 Pesachim during the year. What does he mean to say? That on every Shabbos, they would bring the Korban Tumid in the morning and the Korban Tumid in the afternoon. There would be Korbanos of Musaf. A lot of Korbanos were brought on Shabbos. So he said, do we have only one Pesach during the year? Shedochet HaShabbat, that sets aside Shabbat. There are more than 200 Korbanos Pesach in a year that set aside the Shabbos. So they said to me, all right, it's a nice svara, but we need text. We need to see where does Torah say that this is so. Amalehem said to them, Nemar Moado the Pesach, it says Moado, in its time, by the Korban Pesach, that you shall bring the Korban Pesach, the Moado. And with regard to the Korban Tomet that's brought every day, it also says the Moado, you should bring it in its time. Just like the daily sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash sets aside Shabbos, so too Korban Pesach sets aside Shabbos. Nema, it says, now the Gemara will read it with the Mark. Moado, it says Moado the Pesach, and it says Moado the Tumid. Ma Moado Ha'amu the Tumid, just like Moado that it says by the Korban Tumid, Dochet HaShabbat sets aside Shabbos. At Moado Ha'amu the Pesach, Dochet HaShabbos, most of Moado that it says like Pesach also sets aside Shabbos. And more than that, he says it's a kalvachomer. Umat tamid shein onush koris. It's tamid where there is no punishment of koris if it's not brought. Dochet haShabbat sets aside Shabbos. Pesach shonush koris. Pesach where there is a punishment of koris and it didn't have dochet haShabbat. Of course, it should be dochet haShabbat. Now, an unusual, exceptional, extraordinary thing takes place. Miyad, immediately, Hoshibuhu Verosh. They put him at the head of the Jewish people. Uminu Nasi Alehem. And they appointed him as president of the Sanhedrin. Vohoyoyoshe Vidodesh Kol Hayom. All day he taught Hilchos Pesach, you understand? It would seem from the Gemara that who were the leaders of the Jewish people at the time? They were B'nai Potato. And B'nai Potato relinquished their kisei, and they gave it over to Hillel, one of the exceptional and extraordinary historic events that's recorded in Yishaz Bavli Yerushalmi. I'll show you later. There's a Gemara where Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, 150 years later, says there were three great people who are humble and modest. One of them, the Gemara there, says a story about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's father, Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says he was great in his humility. Yonatan, the son of Shaul, who pledges allegiance to David and in a sense willingly hands over the kingdom to David. And then he says, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says, and B'nai Potato, what they did, handing over the position of greatness by the Jewish people to Hillel, he doesn't know if he could do it. But it's not that simple. It's very quite complex what's taking place in this Gemara. Anyway, now Hillel continues teaching the laws of Pesach. He truly counted on the Dvarim and he taunted the audience with words. Omar Lahan, he said to them, Mi Godam Lachem, who caused She'elem Yibavel that I should come on Aliyah from Bavel, Ve'ehyen Asi Aleichem, and I shall be president of the Sanhedrin over you? Absolute She'aykar Bachem, your laziness, Shalom Shimashtem Shnei Gedolei Ador Shemayev Avkayim, you didn't truly serve two great people by the name of Shemaya and Avkayim. On the low, this sounded, of course, a little bit out of character for Hillel. Hillel was also known as being extremely humble and modest. This didn't sound so modest. On the low, so they said to him, Rebbe, Shachach lo hevi sakin mi'erev Shabbos mahu. What happens if the person forgot to bring the knife for the shechita on Erev Shabbos? And they would have to bring it through a Meshut HaRabim, you know, about a carry. Does the sacking of Shechita, is that also Dorech Shabbat? Does that also set aside Shabbos? Mahu, what's halacha? You just got to listen to the next two lines of the Gemara. Omar Lahan, he said to them, Halacha zu, this halacha shamati I once heard, v'shachachti. Hillel has forgotten my halacha. You know, is it like a little bit of an onish? Hello? Wait a minute. Shachati. Ella, you know who will pass in this shayla? Hamach lehem l'Yisrael. Let Yisrael be. Im ein v'im hein, v'nei v'im hein. If they are not prophets, they're the sons of prophets. L'mohar, you know what? We're going to watch what happens tomorrow. What will Jews do? And you know what happened the following day? Misha Pishotle Totvovit Samro, a person whose Korban Pesach was a sheep, they had the knife stuck into the wool. Misha Pishogedi, a goat doesn't have wool, but it has horns. It was attached to the horns. Rav Maisa, when he saw Klal Yisrael doing that, Nisker Halacha, he remembered the Halacha and he said, this is what I received from Shemaya Bavtayon. End of the month. Unbelievable month. Let's begin with a number of questions. I mean, you know, it seems to me, from our Gemara here, it seems that it's clear that all of this is taking place the day before Erev Pesach. Because Hillel tells them about the knife, tomorrow we'll see what the people do. This same Gemara appears in Talmud Yerushalmi and it appears in Tosefta, and there it doesn't say L'machar, tomorrow. It seems that it's all taking place on that Erev Pesach, Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. Can you imagine what's going on? Nobody prepared for that Erev Pesach, Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. There weren't shiurim, there weren't all sorts of booklets and pamphlets that came out explaining what to do on Erev Pesach, Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. The whole thing is so shrouded in mystery. According to Yerushalmi and the Tosefta, if it's all taking place on Erev Pesach, that means there wasn't even any time to tell the Jewish people. You know what? The Jewish people, Ancho, knew that you bring the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach that occurs on Shabbos. There's a lot of other mysteries over here. How is a halacha of this sort forgotten by B'nai Potato? Nit'alma disappeared. They didn't know a halacha of such magnitude. As I pointed out, there are only two mitzvot I say in the Torah, if one does not fulfill them, that there is chorus. They didn't know. More than that, they could have checked with Torah tippets and they would have found out that Erev Pesach occurs on Shabbos every certain number of years. Sometimes there may be no more than 3 or 4 years between one Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos, and another. There are also, I guess, there may be times that it'll take 10 years. But Gedolei Yisrael don't know a halacha of this sort, and people forget everything, so we review the halachas. But we know about Erev Pesach, Shechal B'Shabbos. More, we just learned Parsha Shmini. We learned Parsha Shmini this past Shabbos, Vayehi, Vayom HaShmini, and it came to pass on the 8th day. Rashi over there says that was the day of the dedication of the Mishkan. And Rashi says that day took 10 crowns. What were the 10 crowns? So we only need to know two of them. That day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The dedication of the Mishkan took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because that's the story, the death of Nadav Avihu at the time of the dedication. And that day was Rishon Lemaaseh Bereishis. That day was the first day of the week, it was Sunday. What happens if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Sunday? Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos. The first Pesach that was ever celebrated outside of Mitzrayim took place on Erev Pesach, Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. The whole Parshas Balotcha, that talks about the Korban Pesach, is all talking about Erev Pesach, Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. That's what the story was. How could somebody not know? Starting from the very first Korban Pesach that Klal Yisrael brought when they came out of Egypt, that took place on an Erev Pesach, Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. I have a few more questions. Rashi, I underline for Rashi. Rashi says, Halacha Zum, this halacha, Pesach Dorcha Shabbos, the Pesach is Dorcha Shabbos, B'nai B'Teira, forgot the halacha. B'nai B'Teira, Nisiyim Hayu, they were presidents. What do you mean they were Nisiyim? What does that mean? What do you mean they were Nisiyim? There's only one Nasi at a time. There are three B'nai B'Teira at the time. They were all presidents? You can't have, you know. It's true, every Jew considers himself a president, but when we're talking about the Sanhedrin, you know, there's only one president who stands at the head of the Sanhedrin. Another question that bothers me. Let's say that the B'nai B'Teira, yes, were the presidents of the Sanhedrin. Why don't we ask the rest of the Sanhedrin? Who forgot about it? The B'nai B'Teira forgot about it. Wait a minute. There are another 60, 70 members of the Sanhedrin. Where are they? Why don't we ask the rest of the Sanhedrin? If, as it would seem from the Gemara, all of this happened so that Hillel should rise to greatness and Hillel should become the president of the Sanhedrin. Why did it have to be about this halacha? It could have happened on any day during the week about any other halacha, that a question came before the Sanhedrin and the Sanhedrin didn't know, and they said, is there anybody who knows the halacha over here? And somebody would pipe up and say, yes, Odom Echo, there is a person who came on Aliyah from Babel, and his name is Hillel, he will know. It seems that, from the Gemara, it would seem that the rise of Hillel to greatness was on the back of this halacha. This halacha. Ered Pesach Shechal Lihiyot Kishamar. There's, of course, been a tremendous amount that's been written about this Gemara over the ages. And there are all sorts of halakhic approaches, why they forgot, and what was it that they forgot. Many of the Achronim want to say, it wasn't that they forgot whether you can bring the Karban Pesach on Shabbos. They knew you can bring the Karban Pesach on Shabbos. But there were certain details of the Karban. Do you do this? Do you do that? Do you do the next thing? I want to take a completely different approach. I must say, the different approach is based really in history. This is a Gemara that if we truly want to understand the Gemara, we have to know when it's taking place. We have to know what's happening by Klal Yisrael. When is it? What's doing? What's going on in the streets of Yerushalayim? What's going on all over Eretz Yisrael? What's going on in Asia Minor? What's happening? This is an approach that's taken by Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, who wrote a 6-7 svarim, Dorot HaRishonim, a history of the Jewish people. It's a unique history of the Jewish people, because there are so many areas where he disagrees with the so-called great historians, the Gretz and Krochmel and Weiss and Frankel and others who he felt simply didn't have a clue, didn't understand Jewish history, and just they didn't have it. They also took very often approaches that were negative because of their own negative view of Yahadut, and certainly their negative view of religious Jewry. And Hillel, of course, stood at the pinnacle of the Sanhedrin, the Perushim. So I'm going to say it in my own way, and I've added a great deal to what he says, and I believe I may even be getting very, very close to the truth. There is a Talmud Yerushalmi that says the following, and I think the Yerushalmi is the key to unlock the mystery of this Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ovin, this is a Talmud Yerushalmi, Rabbi Ovin said, "Bahaloi etshe l'shnei shavuot shelo yachol arvasa b'shabbos." Not possible for a period of 14 years to pass. Maximum, they said. You can't have 14 years pass that you don't have Erev Pesach shechal liyot b'shabbos. The lama nel mahalacha behind. Why was the halacha forgotten or concealed from them? Concealed is a better translation. And the Yerushalmi answers, "Kedei litein gedula leHillel," in order to give greatness to Hillel. Amar Rabbi Mana said, "Arnos shamit min Rab Yudin." I heard from Rab Yudin and from all of the rabbis. "Mipnei man da agin bebedin shalomata kovet." Why down bezdin over here of this world do we conduct ourselves and give honor to people? "Kedei shelo yirbu machloket b'Yisrael." You have to honor those who stand at the pinnacle and at the peak, so that there should not be machloket by Yisrael. "Shlosha hinichu kidron v'olam hazeh." There are three people who set aside their crowns in this world. "V'yorshu lehem chayei ha'olam haba." and by setting aside their crowns in this world, they inherited the world to come. And who are they? Jonathan ben Shaul, Jonathan the son of Shaul. They bring also a story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who had been appointed the president of the Sanhedrin, then relinquished it to Rabbi Gamliel, and Ziknei Beteda, the elders of Beteda. The Shodin Garma min Nashuta Manduna Nasi, they removed the presidency from themselves and gave it to Gibdil. It means like this. The Yerushalmi is saying this was not simply a matter of forgetting. This was orchestrated, what took place that had a peasant. Shechaliyot b'Shabbat. This was orchestrated min hashamayim. Min hashamayim, from heaven. The B'nai B'Seder forgot what the halacha was. By the way, the Gemara's terminology there is perfect. Nit'alma mimenu halacha. You should know we had it in a Rashi in this past week's Sedrish meeting. We have it a number of times in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, about Moshe Rabbeinu, nit'alma mimenu halacha, a halacha was forgotten from him. In Parshat Shmini it says that on that first day, Aaron had the korban chatos burned and he didn't eat it, and Moshe wanted to know what happened to the korban chatos. So Aaron told him, we burned it. So he says, what do you mean you burned it? What are you talking about? You're supposed to eat the korban chatos. So Aaron tells him, I'm an onan today. Today is a Yom HaVeilus. I lost my two sons today. You think God wants me to eat on a korban today? By Yishma Moshe heard by Yitam Be'enav, and it was good in his eyes. And the Mepharshim say, Nit'alma mimeno halacha. The halacha was forgotten, concealed from him, not forgotten. And I tell you, right, for example, the Gemara also says when they brought the Mekoshesh, the fellow who went out to gather sticks on Shabbos, he didn't know the halacha. The daughters of Tzlochot come and ask, we want a... So you can never say that Moshe forgot. The moment, God forbid, you say that Moshe forgot, all of Torah is brought into question. Then who knows, maybe there are other things that he forgot. Maybe he made a mistake about Halacha. We can never, ever accept the idea that Moshe could have forgotten Halacha. The only thing we can accept is that God concealed it. And in each case, there's a reason. God wanted that the Halacha of a share in Eretz Yisrael should come to the Jewish people through the daughters of Tzlochot. They, in a sense, should be the authors of this halacha because of their great schools. The term Nit'alma means min hashamayim. Moshe knew kol haTorah kula, but for a particular reason, Moshe forgot the halacha, and it was revealed in another way. When it says over here that B'nai B'Teda Nit'alma B'mena Halacha, the moment it says it was concealed from them, we know that heaven is working over here. And heaven wants Hillel to become Nazi now. So number one, what it means is the rise of Hillel to greatness. And number two, you know what else it means? That B'nai B'Teda, for this great act that they were eminently capable of, they're going to be honored and remembered by Claudius and Torikaras. Let it never be said that there wasn't a Jew, there was never a Jew who wouldn't give up his seat in government. There is such a thing. In order to truly understand the whole Gemara, what we have to know is the history of the time. The king of the Jewish people was Herod, Horus. We are talking about a period in history where the kingdom of the Hashmonaim has come to a tragic end. The last two members of the house of Hashmonaim were two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. Civil war breaks out. Can you imagine? Civil war breaks out between Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. Hyrcanus, in order to strengthen his position, calls upon friends in Rome. Rome becomes involved in the struggle inside of Eretz Israel. What's going to take place now, and I'll tell you. over the last 2-3 weeks. I've read over the period of Hyrcanus, Aristobulus, and Hordus, and I tell you, I am more confused now than I ever was. And I'll tell you for one simple reason. Anybody who was in leadership was either beheaded, executed some other way, poisoned. They were killing one another. It was unbelievable. It staggers the imagination. The killer of all, the greatest killer of them all, was Hordus. Hordus was a maniac. Hordus was a madman. Hordus was half Idumean, who had, by virtue of the fact that his father was Antipater. Antipater was the one who became the assistant to Hyrcanus, when we had Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. And they wormed their way into government, and he was a cutthroat. Thousands upon thousands of Jews were killed by Hordus. Hordus was also a genius in construction. What Hordus built, nobody ever built. But you should know, this is a mistake that's made by a lot of people. The situation in Eretz Israel at the time is there were many non-Jews. Now, if you begin to detect certain vague similarities, don't pay attention to it. There were cities, complete cities in Eretz Israel, that were either completely non-Jewish or a majority of them were non-Jewish. All of the construction of Hordus was done in the non-Jewish cities. The Jewish people he taxed to the bone. It was a period of such terrible suffering for the Jewish people. And there was no leadership. He had executed half of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin ceased to exist. What were the Bnei Beteira? Sanhedrin had many functions. Its major function, of course, was to paskin halachos that Klal Yisrael didn't know. They were brought before the Sanhedrin. But there were a lot of other functions that one could say of an administrative nature that were taken care of by Sanhedrin. For example, the Echo the other on the first day of Adar, Sanhedrin would announce that everybody should bring their half shekel to the Beit HaMikdash. They began a collection throughout all of Eretz Yisrael for the half shekel. Bezdin announced on the first day of Adar that everybody has to check their fields, that there isn't klayim, that mixtures of grains and vines were not growing near one another. Sanhedrin had to have a major bureaucracy of people that would go through all of Eretz Yisrael and take care of these things. They had to repair the roads across all of Eretz Yisrael. That was also a function of Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin were the ones who were the safekeepers, the ones who guarded over money of that were left in wills, money that belonged to orphans who were underage. I mean, they had all... It was an awesome bureaucracy that went well beyond paskening halacha. When Hordus destroyed the Sanhedrin, he destroyed that aspect of the Sanhedrin, which was the Sanhedrin that were the fathers of the Kabbalah. Moshe, Kibbo, Torah, Sinai, the Sorrel, Yeshua, Zakenim, and Nevi'im. They gave it over to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And there in that first chapter of Pirkei Avos, you have how it goes to the Zugos. There was Yosef ben Yoezer, Shveda, Yosef ben Yochanan, Eshu Yerushalayim, Shmai and Naphtali, Shimon ben Shatar. And it goes over from generation to generation. There the Sanhedrin stands as those who carry the Kabbalah of Torah Shebaal Peh, goes over from generation to generation. What happened with Hordus? Hordus shattered that aspect of the Sanhedrin. And all the time, as we are talking, as Hillel and the Bnei Beseder talking about the halachas of Erev Pesach, Shechal Lios B'Shabbos, there's war going on in Eretz Yisrael. And the war is something that involves Jew against Jew, Roman against Jew, Hordus against his own people. I tell you, I became so confused. There were so many Aristotles that get got killed, and so many Antigonuses. In middle of a siege of Yerushalayim, and St. Hordus has laid siege to his own city of Yerushalayim to get rid of enemies in the city. He takes off a week and goes to Syria to marry Miriam. Who's Miriam? Miriam is most probably one of the last members of the family of the Hashmonai. You want to get confused? Her mother's name was Alexandra, and her father's name was Alexander. Alexander and Alexandra, who are pushed with, we're talking about the end of the line of the Hashmonaim. They have a daughter, Miriam. The Gemara even describes in a number of places, Hordus' love for Miriam was to the point of absolute madness. He loved this woman. And then somebody came along and tried to tell him that she was having an affair with somebody. He executed her, he put her to death. He put his mother-in-law to death. He put his father-in-law to death. He killed his two children from Miriam. After the death of Miriam that he himself ordered, he went through a period of absolute craziness. He was drunk who knows how long. The man was an absolute killer, his hands dripping with blood. I can't describe how terrible he was. But then on the other hand, he was also the one who built Caesarea. Mm-hmm. But do you know why he built Caesarea? He built it as a Roman and Greek city. And you know what he wanted to do at one point? He wanted to move the capital from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And of all the strange things, Talmei of Rome stood in the way. And therefore I understand the Gemara that says that there's a struggle between Caesarea and Yerushalayim. If one is ascendant, the other is not. And when the other is ascendant, the other is not. Caesarea and Yerushalayim represented the struggle that was taking place in Eretz Yisrael, not only for the neshama of Klal Yisrael, but for the bodies of Klal Yisrael. Here, even want to go to do a simple history, look at history of the Jewish people by Marx on Margolis. Herod was in reality king of the Jews rather than a Jewish king. All of the historians make this comment in one way or another. He tolerated, because with difficulty he tolerated Jews. His heart and his neshama was Roman and Greek. And he put all of his energies in to support, to build, to beautify Greek and Roman architecture throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. He took over the Kahuna Gadolo, and the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol were appointed and unappointed. It was Hordus who kept changing whenever he decided at his whim. One Kohen Gadol, he didn't like him, got rid of him. He was a destructive force in the neshama and the body politic of Klal Yisrael. There's one story that will be that will become interesting. At one point, a brother of his wife, Aristobulus, was elevated to be the Kohen Gadol in his place. When Hordus saw the great cover that was being given to this Hashmonoi, Herod repented of his impudence, and shortly thereafter, he invited the Kohen Gadol to a feast at Jericho, during which the king's servants who were bathing with Aristobulus held his head under water until he drowned. Huh? The fact that at the end of his days he built the Beit HaMikdash and he built the Ma'arah does not change the fact that the man was one of the worst cutthroats and killers in Jewish history.
But that was after. That was at the end.
There are some who even want to say that he was doing tshuva by that, because he did nothing his whole life for Klal Yisrael, except, yes, the Gemara says, Mishlo Ra, whoever didn't see Binyan Hurdus, the Binyan of Hurdus, the Binyan Beit HaMikdash of Hurdus, Lo Ra Binyan Miyama. He was a genius. He was a cutthroat, a killer, his whole life. He was destructive of all of Klal Yisrael. He brought down the Beit Hashmonai. He brought Roman legions into Eretz Yisrael. He set the stage for the Korban that was going to come. In his days, it was already clear that there's going to be a Korban HaBayit. That was the word of the fact.
The
All of Jewish history operates on two levels. It operates on the level of Shemayim and Oretz. The Rambam says, you know why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Because we were involved in internal machlokas and we didn't teach our children how to fight. That's what the Beresh Rambam. The Rambam says, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because we invited the Romans in. So the Rambam and the Rambam don't hold that it has to do with the fact that Klal Yisrael did Averis. But everything operates on two levels. There's the Ba'aretz level and there's the Min HaShemayim level. You know what they needed? You know what Klal Yisrael needed? They needed a Hillel. And Shemayim had decided that in order that Klal Yisrael ought to survive the difficult period that had begun with Hurdus, they needed Hillel. And therefore, Min HaShemayim, Hillel is brought to become the head of the Sanhedrin. What is it about Hillel? Hillel was fearless. Josephus says that twice during his reign, Hordus demanded that all of Klal Yisrael pledge allegiance to him. Two people refused. Hillel, Shammai, and all of his students. And he didn't lay a hand on them. The only two people and their students whom Hordus didn't lay a hand on were Hillel and Shammai. There must have been something about the two of them that presented him with a picture of two fearless people. Hillel. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Avhu, he once saw a skull that was floating upon the waters. And he said, Al da'afeh, because you drowned others, that's why you were drowned. And the end is going to be that the ones who drowned you are going to be drowned themselves. The Mephoshim don't know what to do with this myth of Hillel. They don't know what to do with the myth. Because it means that every victim of a murder had to have been a murderer. Because you drowned others, that's why you were drowned. So all of them asked, Cain and Hevel. Hevel wasn't the murderer and he was killed. You know how I learned the Mishnah? And how we will learn many of the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos of Hillel. They were his comments, his political comments. They were the rallying cry of Klal Yisrael. He's talking about the drowning in Yericho of Aristobulus. Ultimately, there will be punishment for those who committed that terrible crime. He's also the one who says, the Mokim Shein Ish, the Mokim Shein Anoshim, with her no man, Yishtatel Yodish, somebody has to stand up and lead Klal Yisrael. Imena Mili, Mili. Ukshani La'atzmi, if I'm only going to worry about myself and I'm not going to worry about Klal Yisrael, Mani, what am I? Vimlo Aksha, what are we going to wait for? Klal Yisrael needs to pick itself up now. Vimlo Aksha,
Emosai, when?
And then there's the Mishnah, you have it on the other side of your sheet. The last one, down at the bottom. Hu Hayome, he used to say, Marbe Basa, Marbe Rima, Marbe Nechasa, Marbe Dagla. You know what he's giving a description of over here? He's giving a description of the corruption of Malchus. The terrible corruption of the house of Urdus. Marbe Basa, Marbe Rima, Marbe Nechasa, all these possessions, Marbe Dagla, worry. They thought, Urdus was worried all the time. He was lavishly wealthy. He always needed more. Marbe Nashim, Marbe Kshofim. They didn't have problems with Nashim. Hillel's plan for the Jewish people, Marbe Torah, Marbe Chayim. A cholesterol that is not led by Torah is death. Marbe Torah, Marbe Chayim. Marbe Yeshiva, Marbe Chochma, Marbe Eitzah, Marbe Tvuna, Marbe Tzedakah, Marbe Shalom. He was the great man of peace, but at no price. He would pay no price, Hillel. What's the first myth of Hillel? Hillel, the son of Kibbeh, Hillel, the Mahavim, Tamidah, Shal Aaron, Oed, Shalom, the Rode, Shalom. He's talking about a period of time when the family of Aaron was involved in all sorts of terrible, terrible things. The Kohanim and Gedolim themselves were part of of the criminality of Klal Yisrael. And he says, here's a man who gets up and says what has to be said to Klal Yisrael. His Mishnayos over here are his rallying cry to Klal Yisrael. These weren't just nice aphorisms. And by the way, there are more listed from Hillel than any other Tanna. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Mishnayot of Hillel. And the 7 Mishnayot contain, I think they had them all up, 13, 14 different great statements. Hillel became the leader of the Jewish people at a moment of terrible crisis. But there's so much more to Hillel. I'm just starting with Hillel. Most probably the greatest act of Hillel was, nobody in his right mind would have come on Aliyah from Babel when he came. In Babel there was peace, there was tranquility. You had to be a Meshuggah or a Hillel to come on Aliyah while in Eretz Yisrael, literally there's blood flowing in the streets. Ish Echad, Olami Babel, V'Hillel HaBavli Shemo. I wouldn't be a bit surprised they called him Hillel HaBavli because there weren't too many Babylonian Olim coming in those days. He may have been the only Babylonian Oleh who came. What's important about Hillel is even more. Even more. What Hillel is doing, Hillel is establishing the mindset of religious Klal Yisrael at a time of crisis. You have to know how to keep your head screwed on straight at moments of crisis. I read in the papers the last few weeks, even this morning in Haaretz, about the terrible crisis that the Dati Le'uvi world is going through. If, God forbid, the Hitnat Kut goes through, there are those who are going to be mitnatek from the Medina, from the Memshala. They're not going to say, Halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut. They're going to burn Israeli flags in the streets with the tires. Shomu Shamayim al Zos, what absolute stupidity. I haven't heard anything like this. You know what Hillel would have said? And I'll tell you how I put it. Who defines my Yiddishkeit? You know what he's telling them? Who defines your Yiddishkeit? Hurdus defines your Yiddishkeit? Because there's a prime minister and a government that wants to remove Jews from homes in Eretz Yisrael. That defines what Tzionut is? Or the Dati community believes it? We can lose some battles. Okay, we can lose some battles. But am I defined by them? Are we defined because in this country, most probably the majority of Jews are Mechalei Shabbos? Does that therefore define them? Well, we should be Mechalei Shabbos. People can make tragic mistakes. But their tragic mistakes doesn't mean that anything has changed as far as I'm concerned. Is there the greatest ingathering of Jews in all of history here in Eretz Yisrael today? Yeah, that hasn't changed at all. Is this country a country that is blossoming and growing in a way that it didn't through 2,000 years ago? Well, of course it is. So there are Jews who are making tragic mistakes, and they're going to find out soon how tragic their mistakes are. Does that define me? And what do you think Hallel is? Do you think Hallel is a bowl of cherries? Right in Hallel, right after you say Zeh Hayom Osa Hashem, this is the day that God has wrought. Nogila v'nismichavot. You know we say Ona Hashem Ishiyano, Ona Hashem Atzlichano. I call unto God from my difficult straits. What do you think? Hallel is just rah rah rah, but say it's all fun and games. Life is not all fun and games. There are challenges. There are mistakes, terrible, terrible mistakes that people make, and we're part of that struggle. So we're going to say, oh, things aren't going our way right now, so then we will simply remove ourselves and find ourselves. Not Hillel. Hillel comes along with a message of hope to climb. So that was his greatness. It was his genius. It was the courage of his personality. We had asked a whole bunch of questions. B'nai B'seiro and the Siyim, because they were functioning not as Sanhedrin. There was no Sanhedrin at the time. There was no Sanhedrin at the time. I had asked, why is it this halacha that raises Hillel to greatness? Because do you know what the halacha of Korban Pesach, Golcha Shabbos, mean? That Korban Pesach set aside Shabbos. What's the significance of Korban Pesach? The significance of Korban Pesach, number one, is that we shattered all the idols of the world. That we are enslaved to no one except the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki lim b'nei Yisrael avodim v'avodim avodim. Freedom. The ability to stand up for ourselves, to be strong. What are the two mitzvot I say for which there is a punishment of chorus if one doesn't perform? Mila and Korban Pesach. Mila, the pshat is, that's the identity of Klal Yisrael. That's Doche Shabbos. Jewish identity is Doche Shabbos. Korban Pesach is the whole philosophy of Jewish life starting from Yitzias Mitzrayim and further. That's what it's all about. That's Doche Shabbos. Then, the most mysterious one of all, in the Haggadah, something unusual that we find at no other time. Zeche l'migdash kehillel. After we eat the matzah, and after we eat the mora, we make the sandwich. Zeche l'migdash kehillel. The halach is not like Hillel, but every Jew makes a zeche to what Hillel did at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. What did Hillel do? I remember my house. My father, all our son, came to Zeche l'migdash kehillel. I tell you, he began to cry. I never understood him. Zeche l'migdash kehillel, okay, no, say Hillel, Hillel, Hillel. All my kids know exactly how to say that part of our God. Hillel, Hillel, Hillel. Okay, no, say Hillel. This is what Hillel did. You know what Hillel did? And this was ultimately his great message, and that's why he's in the Haggadah. He ate Pesach, Matzah, and Moror together. Pesach represents freedom. Moror represents bitterness. Matzah can be either freedom or slavery. Matzah is representative of that which we ate while we were enslaved. And Matzah is also that which we ate as we came out of Mitzrayim with the dough on our shoulders. Do you know what Hillel is saying to Klal Yisrael? You should know even at the moment of Pesach that there'd be periods of moror. You think that Pesach is just going to be a bowl of cherries throughout life? There can be moments of Pesach, and the moments of Pesach are going to be accompanied by moror. And because there's moror over there, doesn't mean that it diminishes anything from the greatness of the Pesach. And you know what? You all see matzah with it. There are periods of time where you may not even be able to distinguish, is this good or is this bad? Is it Pesach or is it Maror? So you have to know that they all go together. Ad bias goel tzedek. Until the time that there will be a Redeemer, we're going to have to live through periods of Maror. And you know what Hillel is telling them? You can do it! Because there's a period of Maror going through, so I take all my hashkafas that are based on Chazal, that are based on Pesukim, we dump it, we jettison it, no, it was wrong, because somebody's doing something that he shouldn't do, and in just a few years down the line, he'll know what a terrible mistake it was. Therefore, our hashkafas are called in question. That was the message that Hillel was saying to the Jewish people. He had the power to move them. They needed him. Can you imagine what kind of an example he set? The fact that he came on Aliyah at that most difficult period in all of Jewish history, Bizman Bayit Sheni, and they kept calling him throughout that Babylonian. And do you know what it means for the for Bnei Deseder? Not only do Bnei Deseder give up their Nesius to somebody else, to a Naya Gekimina, to a foreigner, speaks Hebrew with a Babylonian accent, if you understand. That's who they give it over. They recognize that Hillel HaBavli is Hillel HaBavli. Hillel became the great leader of a Klal Yisrael. He raised Klal Yisrael, may Ashpos Yonim. That's why our thank you to Hillel is Seichel Migdash Ki Hillel. He comes to the greatness through that halacha, that Karbon Pesach is Docha Shabbos. There's a Jewish Hashkafa, there is Torah, all that's represented in Karbon Pesach is so significant that it's Docha Shabbos. This is not a simple Gemara. This is a mystifying, a Gemara that's shrouded in mystery. And the mystery is the greatness of Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos.